Oh, come on, Central. Let's give God a hand in this place. If he really is enough for you, let's let him know he is enough. Come on, it's just good to be alive in here today. Amen. Woo! This band, y'all are amazing. Y'all sound awesome. Y'all should stay up here behind me the whole time. We'll like Jimmy Fallon it. It'll be great. Y'all could be the Roots. Seriously, I'm excited to be here. Man, just that song we were singing, this isn't in my notes, but y'all, if you weren't brought up in church, you don't speak Christianese, and you're like, Jireh, I thought we called him God or Jesus. That's an Old Testament Hebrew name for God, Jehovah Jireh. It means the God who provides. So when we're saying Jireh, we're saying provider. We're saying everything comes from you. The clothes I'm wearing, the kicks on my feet, the car I drove here in, I didn't get it. God gave it to me. Jireh. And if all I had was you, that is more than enough. What a beautiful way to start our time in the Word. Amen? Amen? Again, if you didn't grow up in the church, you don't speak Christianese. Amen is like the Christian way of saying like right on or that's what's up. It all works with God. You can end your prayer like, Jesus, help me. That's what's up. And God's like, that's what's up. I'm down. So we're going to be in Philippians chapter 3 today. If you have a Bible, open it up, Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to kind of give some context before we jump in there, but I do want to stop and acknowledge if it's your first time here. My name's Corey. I'm one of the pastors that, I can say this now, I'm one of the pastors that gets to serve here at Central. My wife and I, we're going to be basing up here at Central for the foreseen future, and we are excited about that. You know, please be in prayer. The housing market is really chill right now. It's really a relaxed process, and so those of you laughing know I'm being incredibly sarcastic. But yeah, just say a prayer for us. We're in the hunt right now and excited to come on up. And at the same time, simultaneously, I'm pastoring one of our campuses down in Kingston, Jamaica called Zeal. And y'all are like, how are you doing that? Well, because of the pandemic in the tiny island of Jamaica and the medical services down there, it's probably going to be another 6, 12, maybe even 18 months before we're able to gather as a church down there. So if y'all would just pray for us. God has been moving. He's been working. We're meeting online, much like a lot of us did a year ago here. But again, just because things move a little slower in a third world country, not a first world country, just be in prayer. It's just going to take longer for us to meet and gather. But God's been moving online and throughout all of our campuses around the world. If you didn't know it, this week we're having our Water's Edge conference. Water's Edge is kind of the umbrella organization that we call our family of churches around the world, all birthed from this church right here. Look at the person next to you and say, you're incredible. Just tell them, tell somebody they're good today. Yeah. I don't care what fight you got in on the way here. Tell them you're incredible, right? It's okay. Yeah. And if you're alone, you're incredible. Those of you that don't, nobody told me, so you're incredible. Yeah. But you guys are incredible because all these churches around the world are being supported from this church, and it's amazing what God is doing. And so we got Pastor Sandy coming in from Indonesia. He's actually going to be here with us next Sunday. So if you want to hear about what God's doing and how he's moving in our church over in Indonesia, just outside of Jakarta, make sure you're here. And then we have Pastor Peter and Pastor Vasily from Kiev, Ukraine with us this weekend. And then we have Pastor Pana over in Cambodia. They're rocking and rolling, doing well. I got some of my Jah friends, my Jamaican friends coming up this week to experience the conference. And then we got our churches from all over the country coming in. Some of you are like, I had no idea. I thought I'd just come here and sit in a pew. No! God is doing something all over the... So can you tell I'm a little excited about it? It just gets me stoked. I said this last time I was here. Like, literally, some of you are going to get to heaven, and you're going to have a Ukrainian run up to you, and on the other side, like a dreadlock Jamaican run up to you, and then some San Diegan run up to you. That's a San Diego person. And they're just going to hug you in heaven, and they're going to be like, Wagwan me, brethren! And they're going to say hello, however you say it in Ukrainian. And then they're going to be like, what? And you're going to be like, who are you guys? And they're going to go, no. Because you went to Central, and because you gave to a vision that was beyond just one building, my mother got saved, my father got saved, my brother got saved, and they shared the message of Jesus with me, and I am in eternity for heaven because of people like you. That's why I think you're incredible, and that's why my wife and I are excited to be here with you guys for however long God lets that happen. Yeah, you can give yourselves a hand. And speaking of incredible people, it's just a fun time in our country. We got 4th of July coming up in 2 weeks. I heard we're going to be doing an outside service, so make sure you're there. One service, 10 a.m., 4th of July. Next week, we got Pastor Sandy with us. This week, we got Pastor Peter with us. This weekend was Juneteenth weekend, and it's Father's Day weekend. One more shout out to all our fathers in the house. Yeah. Dads, we love you. We love you. We literally wouldn't be here without you. We're grateful for you. But dads, today, as we jump into the Word of God, I was kind of thinking, like, what scripture should I cover? And at Zeal in Jamaica and down at Overflow Church, we're going through the book of Philippians this summer. And this weekend actually landed on Philippians chapter 3, and I read it, and I was like, oh, man, what a great word for just the men and all of us today. So we're going to be in Philippians chapter 3. And I like this one because, again, if you weren't brought up in church, like, it sounds daunting, the book of Philippians. That's just a letter. There was this guy named Saul who had an encounter. He was like a terrorist. He used to kill Christians. And then he had an encounter with Jesus, and it changed his life. And so he stopped killing Christians and started creating them, started telling people about the Jesus he encountered. And then one of the places he did this was this city called Philippi. Philippi, history lesson. Some of you that love history, like, this is awesome. The rest of you are like, bro, come on. I have school. Like, I don't need that. But a little history lesson. The church in Philippi, like, Philippi was this big pagan city. Some of you have heard of Alexander the Great. Alexander's dad's name was Philip. He conquered this city and named it after him. A little narcissistic, if you ask me. But it was an ancient city by the time Paul got there. So Paul did his normal MO. His normal mode of operation was Paul would show up to a city and he would roll up to the synagogue and he'd be like, yo, the Messiah's here. And the Jews that were waiting on the Messiah would be like, say what? Tell us more. And that's how he would convert people to Christianity. He'd be like, the Messiah has come. Well, he got to Philippi, wasn't no synagogue. I'll speak proper English. I've been in Jamaica a lot. I start cramming stuff too. There was not a synagogue in Philippi. And there wasn't a synagogue because you needed at least 10 Jewish men to constitute a synagogue. In other words, in this huge city, there wasn't even 10 Jews. There wasn't 10 believers in God. It was a very secular pagan city. So Paul did the next best thing. He showed up to the city. He went outside the city where the water was because he knew on the Sabbath they would be doing their sacramental cleansing and washing if there was any Jews. And sure enough, he found a couple Jews. They were women. One of them's name was Lydia. And it said Lydia was a dealer of purple cloth. Purple, that was a big deal. Like, that was a big deal. Purple was the color royalty wore. It was expensive. So in other words, Lydia was like the Dolce & Gabbana Gucci dealer of her day. Like, Lydia was a big baller businesswoman. Like, she had it together. And so Lydia put her faith in Jesus, and her whole household did. Bam, right? Lydia actually financed a lot of Paul's ministry. Anybody that has an issue with women in church just needs to read the Bible. Like, they play a huge role in it. So Lydia financed a lot of Paul's ministry. So she gave her life to Christ. And then if you've read the book of Acts, there's this story where Paul and Silas get thrown in prison. They get thrown in prison because there was a demon-possessed girl, and they got the demon out of her. And the owner was like, why'd you do that? And they threw her in prison. So the second believer was a demon-possessed girl that met Jesus and had the demon go. And then they're in prison, and there's an earthquake. Y'all know that story, and the gates open. And then there's the jailer, and he's about to commit suicide because he's lost all the prisoners. And Paul's like, don't do it, bro. And he's like, why not? My life's over. He's like, because life just starts at Jesus. And he's like, okay, like, put down the sword. And then he puts down the sword, and then his whole family gives a life to Christ. So the beginning of the Philippian church was a big baller Gucci dealer Lydia, was a formerly demon-possessed little girl, and a suicidal jailer. Talk about a church plant. That's the church of Philippi. And 10 years later, Paul's writing them a letter. And what I love about the letter of Philippians is it doesn't mention the word sin one time. There is zero rebukes in the letter to the Philippian church. Now, again, if you're a Bible scholar, you read your Bible, that's a big deal. Because Paul wrote like 2/3 of the New Testament. And a lot of, like, Paul would plant a church, and then he'd peace out, and then they'd be like, they'd give Paul reports, like, this is happening, and he'd write a letter, and he'd be like, yo, stop it! Like, he'd be like, to the church in Corinthians, like, don't sleep with your mother-in-law, and stop slandering and gossiping, like, that's in the Bible. He'd be like, stop doing that, right? And so a lot of his letters were full of rebukes, like, hey, stop acting a fool and do things right. Book of Philippians, not a single rebuke. They say, like, theologians would tell us that Paul had like a special love for the church in Philippi because they were just such a generous church, such a loving church. They just got it. It's like central. Like, you just fall in love with Jesus, you get baptized, you come out of the water, and you go, what's next? Sign me up. Let's roll. That was the church in Philippi. And he writes them with such endearment. The theme of Philippians, it's just 4 chapters. You can read the whole book in 15 minutes if you're a slow reader, 10 minutes if you're a quick reader. But the theme of the book of Philippians is this word, joy. Everybody say joy on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Who could use some more joy right now, right? I mean, come on. Now, if you're not raising your hand, you're lying in church, and you could use some more joy. Like, we could all use more joy. And that all, every time, like he just keeps going, joy, rejoice, joy, rejoice, make my joy complete, joy, rejoice, and it's amazing. Chapter one, he just launches into this epilogue about joy. Chapter two, if Philippians was a song, chapter two is the chorus. The hook is in chapter two, verses 6-11. It was literally a poem, and it's all about the preeminence and predominance of Christ. And then at the end of chapter two, he like pivots and he points to his boy Timothy, and he's like, look, Timothy's a great example of following Jesus. And then he points to his boy how do you pronounce his name? Epaphroditus, that's his name. If you're looking for a name, parents, Epaphroditus, there you go. He goes to him and he's like, look, he's a great guy, he takes care of me. But in chapter three, he turns the camera lens on himself. And he starts to say, let me tell you about me a little bit. And I love this for Father's Day weekend because Paul was a manly man. You know, Paul averaged over 20 miles a day walking in his missionary journey. Some of us get winded walking to the mailbox. Can I get him? I need a Peloton, right? Like, Paul, like, lived Peloton. Like, he, like, walked every single day over 20 miles. Paul was stoned multiple times, and I'm not talking Michigan stoned. I'm talking Paul was, like, they threw rocks at him. Some of you, like, you can't say jokes like that at Central. I told you, I'm the weird uncle, and I'm not here permanently yet, so you can still fire me. But Paul was literally, they threw rocks at him until they thought they killed him multiple times. They did this thing to Jesus called 40 lashes minus one. If you're familiar with the crucifixion story, before Jesus went to the cross, they stripped him naked, put him over a stake, and then they took a whip called a cat of nine tails. And a cat of nine tails wasn't like a regular whip. It was a whip that had multiple strands, and in the strands, they tied in sharp objects. And so instead of like in the movies, you know, if you watch an old movie and it'd be like that, that's not what they did to Jesus. They would take this and they would wrap it around the flesh of your back. And then instead of pulling this way, they would pull it across forward so as to tear the flesh of your back off. And they did this 39 times because Romans were so good at torture, they knew if they went 40 or above, the victim would die of blood loss or pain. And they wanted to bring you right to the edge of the most agony and pain and then make you live. They did this to Jesus. Then they shoved sharp objects into his head and made him carry his own torture device up a hill. That's our Savior. They did this to Jesus. That's right. They did this to Paul too, 5 times. Paul had 40 lashes minus one done to him 5 times. You talk about a man. If you lifted up Paul's shirt, you would see the cost of the gospel. You would see how much he loves you and I and wants us to have this message. I mean, if somebody whipped me one time with one of those, I'd be like, bro, okay, right? He got whipped 39 times, 5 times, in different occasions. They whipped him and they said, stop preaching the gospel. Stop telling people about Jesus. And he said, you can whip me all you want, but the glory of God needs to be known amongst his people. And you can kill me, you can stone me, you can say whatever you want about me, you can whip me, but I will not stop telling people about Jesus. Paul was a man. He followed in the footsteps of Jesus. Amen, right? But that's how much he wanted us to have these letters. That's how much he believed in what he was doing. And in chapter three, he kind of dives into his story a little bit. And we're going to start right at the top in verses 4. Y'all ready? Say yeah. Yeah. This side is. This side, we'll get there. Here we go. Online, by the way, thank you guys for tuning in, online audience. We love you. Hope to see you back here soon. Understand if you're not here, unless you're on the boat right now, stop the engine, turn it up, praise Jesus. All right. Verse 4 in Philippians chapter 3, it reads, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Now, Paul right here is being the ultimate one-upper. You ever been to a party and there's the one-upper? If you haven't, that's you. Like, you know what I'm talking about, right? Like, you come to a party and you kind of start talking about your story or your life, and you're like, oh my gosh, we had the best vacation. We rented a little cabin on Lake Michigan. We had a great weekend. And then there's that guy, and he's like, oh, that's awesome. It reminds me, my wife and I went to Fiji 2 weeks ago. And you're like, cool, bro, thanks, right? Or you're like, oh man, I just saved up and got me a new Honda Civic. And they're like, oh, I used to have a Honda Civic. You know, I drive a Range Rover now, but that's awesome. And you're like, dude, seriously, right? Like the one-upper, right? The guy that's like, ah, I got you beat. Like, I just bought some Yeezys. And they're like, well, here's the vintage J's. Like, there's just people that that always one-up you. And Paul here starts off by saying, hey, you think you have reason to brag about your life? You think you have a reason to think you're a good person? You think you have claim to get into heaven? Whatever you think you have, I have more. And we're like, calm down, bro. Big words, like big statement. But then Paul backs it up. Check out what he says. This is great. He gives us his verbal resume. He says, I got more. I got more reason to be confident in my flesh. I have more reason to be confident in my abilities. I have more reason to think that I would get into heaven, that I'm good with God. He says, circumcised on the eighth day. Now, if you're applying for a job, that's probably not the first thing you'd put at the top of your resume. And if you do, good luck. But Paul leads with circumcised on the eighth day. I'll tell you why in a second. Of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, shout out Zeal Jamaica, this is the name of our church, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Bam, 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 bam. Just verbal resume. Check out my life. And we hear that, and we may not connect with every part of it, but it reminds me of like when I was a kid. And when I was a kid, I used to love building things. I still do. But like specifically, I remember I got like a little, y'all remember like model cars? People don't do that stuff anymore. We like build them digitally or whatever. But like, I used to like build model cars and little model boats. And I had like little motorcycles, like Matchbox motorcycles, but I'd have the ones that you could put together. And they were like this. I brought one with me. Y'all remember like the little Matchbox motorcycles, little Matchbox cars? And I remember like when I was a kid, I would like put it together. They had like the little frame and you'd like click the motor in, then you'd click the frame on, and then you'd click the wheels on, and then you clip the handlebars in, and you could build the cool little bike. Right? Some of you are like, where are we going with this? Roll with me. So as I'm reading this, it makes me think that Paul's kind of saying like, look what I built. Look at the life I built. He's saying, I was circumcised on the eighth day. Now what that's saying is, his parents did it right from day one. In Hebrew Jewish custom, you are supposed to be circumcised on the eighth day. And he was like, look, from day one, I did it right. My frame, spot on, perfect. And then he says, not just circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel. In other words, I wasn't a Gentile like most of us. I wasn't grafted in. I wasn't a foreigner. No, I was born into God's people. Not only is my frame good, but like it's of the right make. It's of the right brand. He says, born of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. We read that and we're like, cool, bro, awesome. No, no, no. The tribe of Benjamin, that nickname of that tribe was the darling of the father. If you didn't know, there's 12 tribes of the nation of Israel, and they split, and 10 of them broke away, but one stayed loyal to Judah, Benjamin. Benjamin held a special place in God's heart, and for a Jew, it was kind of bragging rights. Like, we're of the tribe of Benjamin. We're the ones that never defected. We stayed true to God. So he's like, hey, my frame's good. Man, all the outside's good. Man, it's of the right brand. It's coming together. I got the right engine of Benjamin. And, oh, that right. I didn't even mean to do that. That was dope. Where was that the first service? The engine of Benjamin. A Hebrew of Hebrews. By that, he's saying my mama and my daddy are Jewish. In other words, he could trace his lineage all the way back to Abraham on his mom's side and his dad's side. He's like, most of you are Jewish because your mom is Jewish. My mom and dad are. Trust me, I'm in this. And then he says, as to the law, a Pharisee. Pharisees were those that memorized scripture and knew God's word. He trained under the famous Pharisee Gamaliel. That was he apprenticed under him, like Paul knew his stuff. So he's saying, hey, and as I started to add the other parts to the motorcycle, the bike that is my life, trust me, I was building it the right way. And as to zeal, what fueled me, what kind of gas was in my tank? A persecutor of the church. In other words, I was the most passionate, the most enthusiastic. I wasn't in a little 250cc, none of those little 600cc crotch rockets. I drove a Harley, like I had all the gas in the tank. Some of you, if you ride like a Hayabusa, you're like, hold on. But those of you that don't do motorcycles, you're like, can we get back to the word? And then he says this, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. In other words, once I got the bike of my life together, oh, it was spotless. If you looked at my life on the outside, you could not find fault with him. You couldn't find, he obeyed the law. And he's saying, man, when it came to building the bike to ride down the road of life on, I built it perfectly. I did everything right. I did everything I could. And then Paul says this about this immaculate bike he's going to ride down the road of life on. He says, but whatever gain I have, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Now, if you're an astute person at all, or even logical, you're going, why? Why would you do that? Why would you throw all of that away? He says, I count it as loss. Not like, oh, it's cool and I'll bring it with me. He says, I count it as loss. My entire life, all that I have. The modern day equivalent would be, hey, I was raised in a good family. I went to school. I made good grades. I studied the word of God. I was in Sunday school every week, weekend after week. I went to a good college. I got a degree. I made good money. I married a good woman. Like, I did everything right. And he says, yeah, all that, throw it away. It's loss. That seems harsh, right? And it begs the question, why? Why would all that be loss? Well, he answers it in the next verse. I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. Everybody say rubbish on the count of three. One, two, three. That's a fun word. I was joking with Pastor Craig. That's a very British word. We don't say that in the States. Like, that's rubbish, right? But he said, it's rubbish. Everything is rubbish. Because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for his sake I suffered in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God that depends on faith. Now, I made you say that word rubbish because I don't know if you know this, but our Bibles are kind of PG sometimes. That word there in the Greek and in the Hebrew is almost, it's basically a cuss word. It actually more directly translates to like a steaming pile of dog poop. And it's like, oh, that's funny. But then he says, you know what my life is like? A steaming pile of poop. Another translation would say complete and utter garbage, waste. And he's saying, all that I've accomplished, everything I've made is like rubbish. Why? Compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. It's like he caught a glimpse of something so much greater. It reminds me of, as a kid, like I used to do this. I used to like build these little motorcycles. And I remember I went and visited my grandfather, really, really little kid. And I had my little Matchbox motorcycle. And I went and visited my grandfather, and I'll never forget the first time I heard a real motorcycle crank up. I was like, whoa. And it really caught me off guard. And as soon as I heard that motorcycle crank, I was like, oh my gosh. I've never heard anything. Oh, we got her. She was like, oh, good, right? I had never heard anything like that before. And as my grandfather pulled up on this motorcycle, I remember I looked at my bike and this real motorcycle came up and I was like, and I looked at my bike and I looked at the Harley and I looked at my bike and I looked at the Harley and I was like, this doesn't compare to this. Everybody give Jim a hand for being our Harley man today. Jim, thank you so much. And he gave me the keys. He's not getting these back. I love being a part of Central. Praise God. Starting bonus. Thank you. Thank you so much. Honestly, I was like, I know there's going to be one dad here, one father here whose kids were like, let's go to church for Father's Day. And he's like, I want to stay home. And he doesn't like God and he doesn't like church, but there's a motorcycle on his stage and he's going to be like, okay, it's not that bad. There was a motorcycle, right? Like, that was my motive. And I like motorcycles. I still ride them to this day. But like, I remember when I was a kid, I was like, whoa, I built this and it was amazing. And then I saw that and I was literally like, huh? Like there's things in life when you see something that doesn't even compare, it makes what you had seem silly. You're like, whoa, this doesn't, like, and Paul was basically saying like, all of our best efforts, if our goal, if we believe that we're not here by accident, if we believe there may be a God, and we believe that there's a God that is love, and he loves us so much that he gave a son to die on a cross for us, but he didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave, and he says, I just want a relationship with you, and if you will believe in me, you can cross the finish line into eternity. You can go down the road of life the right way into the highway of eternity. And Paul was saying, all of our best efforts is like a Matchbox motorcycle. And we can try and do all the best things on our own and live the right way and obey the laws. But he said, all of that is like trying to ride down the road of life now, I look silly, right? You can say no. It's a, no, yeah. I know I look silly. But that's what Paul says about his life and about our lives if we're trying to do it on our own. We just look silly because we can't ride this through life. And we definitely can't ride it into the highway of eternity. But Paul said, but I caught a glimpse of something so much greater. The knowledge, the surpassing knowledge of Jesus. And if I will put my faith in Jesus, what I was doing, what I was building seems silly, seems like garbage, seems like waste compared to, so I will surrender it all. I will give up my will. I will give up my desires. I will give up my dreams, not because God doesn't give them to me, not because God doesn't want to bless them, but because what God has for me is so much greater just in the fact that Jesus died for me. Now, let me be 100% clear. I ain't preaching no prosperity gospel. I'm not telling you if you say yes to Jesus, you can toss out your Matchbox car and get a Harley. That's not what I'm saying. If he blesses you with a Harley, give me a ride. But like, I'm not, y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying like say yes to get blessed. What I'm saying is when we say yes, we then step into the facility and the vehicle of our faith to ride with God into eternity. It's so much greater with God. It makes me think just two nights ago, I was down in South Florida. And a buddy of mine, this older guy, he's a big fisherman, and we went out on his boat. And when we got back off the boat, he's left the church. He's been in church for decades, and he left the church that he was in. And we were talking, I said, why? And he said, you know what, Corey? I'm just getting tired. I'm just getting tired of the same old stuff. He goes, I'm a 55-year-old man, and I have a wife, and I have kids, and I have grandkids, and I'm about to lose my job because of this pandemic, and I have no idea how I'm gonna pay the mortgage or buy food, and I'm tired of going to church and hearing about how to make things better and when I got tackled in high school and how to persevere. He goes, I need some real hope. I came to tell somebody today, maybe there's a man out there and you don't know where that next paycheck's gonna come from. Maybe there's a family out there and it is hard times. I came to tell somebody today, it doesn't matter how amazing life is or how bad life is. There is hope in the vehicle of faith in Jesus Christ. And that is how we know. It doesn't matter if our bank account's empty, and it doesn't matter if we're big balling. It doesn't matter if the diagnosis was cancer or if we got it clean and clear. It doesn't matter if there's a pandemic, a war. It doesn't matter. You cannot stop the church of Jesus Christ. And when you realize that we have a hope that does not disappoint, all this looks silly. And we can join the ride with Jesus. The title of my message today is Enjoy the Ride. Enjoy the ride. And let's be honest, this isn't fun to ride. But that, oh, that's a ride like none other. And Paul, he reminds me of what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Jesus says it like this: the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all that he had and bought that field. The kingdom of heaven surpasses anything we could ever compare it to. And I wonder today, what have you been holding on to? What are you putting your faith in? Going, this will get me there. This will fix my marriage. This will get my career. I'm not saying we shouldn't work hard. I'm not saying we shouldn't get help. But what are we ultimately resting on that in light of eternity, we just look silly? Maybe today, like Paul, we need to throw it away and rest assured in Jesus. There's this term, hedonism. Hedonism means to live life seeking your own pleasure. And there's one of my favorite pastors and theologians, John Piper, writes on the topic of Christian hedonism. And that sounds counterintuitive, sounds like opposites. Christian hedonism, if hedonism is all about your pleasure, like, isn't Christ about like laying your life down? But Piper would say the problem is not that we're hedonistic, the problem is that we're too easily satisfied. In other words, Christians should be the most hedonistic because we should be most satisfied when God is most glorified. So if we seek God's glory, we actually seek our ultimate satisfaction because it looks like that. But the problem is we live lives and we get satisfied with this. C.S. Lewis says it like this. He says, we are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at sea. We are far too easily pleased. We're all going, look at my life. And Paul says, catch a glimpse of something greater. What could life be with Jesus? And then Paul goes on to say this in verse 12, talking about this idea of living after Jesus, of riding the roller coaster of life with Jesus in faith. He says this, not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect. Paul's like, look, I ain't riding a Harley every day. I get it wrong sometimes too. I'm not there. I love the Bible. I love the Bible. I love that the guys that wrote the Bible were like, hey guys, just so you know, I'm really messed up. Hey, I want to tell you guys this. I didn't say this in the first service. You know what this stage is? It's just some wood. It's just wood that elevates us above your head so the camera can see us, so that way we can distribute this message. Anybody on this stage is no better or any less sinful than anyone out there. We are all really messed up, jacked up, shacked up, or locked up in some way, shape, or form, and we all need Jesus just as much. And I love that this church acknowledges that, and I love that Paul acknowledges that. Isn't that good? Because we have a problem. We put the apostles on a pedestal. We put pastors on a pedestal. And as soon as you do that, you set yourself up for church hurt. You set yourself up for religious hurt. Because the only person that sits on the throne, the only person that should be on a pedestal is Jesus. Because people will always let you down. And I love that Paul says, look, I haven't arrived. I haven't arrived. I'm not perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. In other words, I can do it because Jesus did it. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own. Again, he's like, I ain't there yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. Get over the toys and step into real life. Be mature. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. But our citizenship, where we belong, is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior. Let the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Scripture is so good. By the way, did you catch that? He said, if you struggle with a dad bod, one day you'll have a glorious body. Look at your wife and be like, I know this is good, but it's gonna get better. Tell her. It's gonna be glorious. And I love that Paul says, man, there's one thing I do. I'm so grateful for the life that God's given me. But compared to knowing what Jesus has done to me, man, I just set that stuff aside and I run after God with everything in me, forgetting what lies behind and pressing on to what's ahead. And to kind of round out our time today, guys, as I read that passage, I thought about The Godfather, not the movie. Some of you are like, yeah, I like this. We got motorcycles, he's about to talk about The Godfather. No. Pastor Peter Machenko, our pastor of Transformation Church, we nicknamed him The Godfather. Because not only did he plant an amazing church 30 years ago with the help and partnership of Central, you guys have been partnering with him in that church for 30 years, but he's planted 12 daughter churches. He is a spiritual father like none other. And when I thought about this passage and what Paul's saying here, forgetting what lies behind and pressing forward, I wanted to show you guys, give you a glimpse of what God's been doing through your church family in Transformation Church in Kyiv, Ukraine. Check this out.
In the 1980s, perestroika, an economic and political restructuring policy in the Soviet Union, began to crumble. The whole world was watching the fall of another empire. It was not the first time that God has intervened in history. And yes, it was a great devastation for many, but for some, it allowed for a new life. With the newfound freedom that replaced totalitarianism, Ukrainian authorities granted people freedom of religion. This is how our church was born. In 30 years, it would become a home for many transformed lives.
В 91-м году, когда уже была свобода, и когда приехал Джон Гест, американский миссионер, и когда евангелизация проводились на стадионах, в парках, и вот тогда организовался уже библейский класс. И так как я жил здесь на Харьковском массиве, меня пригласили братья, сказали, ты живешь на Харьковском массиве, будешь вести библейский класс на Харьковском массиве.
The first gatherings were held in the Housing and Public Services office. We didn't have our own building or any equipment or supplies. All we had was the Bible and people's hunger for God's word.
Хора не было, музыкальной группы не было, музыкантов не было, и магнитофон, который я включал, изучали Библию, потом две песни прослушали, дальше изучаем, две песни прослушали, дальше изучаем.
Unbelievers in the neighborhood next to us started getting interested and wanted to find out what was happening in these gatherings, and new people started coming.
11 июля 92 года было уже первое крещение, 20 человек тогда приняло крещение. Это первые члены церкви, а 12-го в воскресенье уже было первое хлебопреломление нашей церкви.
From that first Sunday service until now, Transformation Church has continued to grow. People have been coming due to the street outreaches, personal invitations, and the many testimonies of changed lives.
И я помню, когда я ложил плитку Лукенца Александра, он тогда неверующий был.
Я ему песок, він мені Євангеліє, я ему цемент, він мені Євангеліє, я ему обід. Пляшку водки, він мені Євангеліє. Це так, так і було.
Петро Васильевич, він приходив ко мені домой, ми общались з ним.
Finally, the time came when the issue of constructing our own building was raised. It wasn't an easy task. There were a lot of obstacles and challenges ahead. We had to look for land, negotiate with the city construction and architecture authorities, and create a project that was barely accepted and approved at the beginning, but was later recognized as one of the best plans presented to the city. Collecting these documents and permissions took 6 years.
Мы только молились, Петр Васильевич, ну, будем молиться за место. Если Бог позволит, значит, мы здесь построим церковь.
Throughout this time, the church was faithful in prayer and trusting the Lord.
И вот спустя 7 лет мы построили это здание. Пока мы строили 7 лет, церковь в два раза увеличилась.
The church did not stop growing. Externally and internally, it has always been a place of renewal from the beginning until now. Our desire is for our building to be an open and modern space for living worship and service to God. But the Transformation Church story and history is not just about a building. It's first off about the stories of people whose lives have been changed because of Jesus.
Какой я был и какой стал, как мы с женой сейчас, как с семьей, как мы сейчас хорошо Господь нас соединил и дал одну такую сильную семью.
В конце января ко мне пришел муж и говорит, я хочу поменять свою жизнь, я ухожу из дома.
Я лег в лекарню. И сьогодні одне сказали в тебе, потім ще додавалося, потім ще болячка додавалася, і я почав панікувати.
З моєю Ліною, дочкою, 24 роки, неї обнаружили онко.
Ну, вже після покаяння, коли ми були в церкві, був такий момент, коли у меня такое произошло падение, естественно, за этим как бы потянулись последствия такие. Была проблема, проблема с наркотиками, с наркозависимостью.
И началась совершенно новая жизнь. Жизнь, которая была наполнена страхами.
Дочка родилась, средняя дочка, у нее были серьезные проблемы со здоровьем, несовместимые с жизнью.
Бога я ніколи в житті своєму не знав, і я говорив, що я ніколи не стану на коліна перед Богом.
Аналізи онко, МРТ онко, комп'ютер онко, і срочно в інституті рака, срочно операцію. Це дуже тяжкий момент у мене.
In moments like these, it feels like life is over and there is no hope.
І получилось так, що я ночью в какой-то, ну, в драке, в пьяной, меня сильно побили, и я скорая меня забрала, проверила пульс и привезли в морг.
But God is always faithful. Each of these people have gone through the valley and experienced a personal encounter with Jesus. They have felt his touch and presence through the church and through the people.
За неї дуже багато минулося людей, дуже багато. А потім, як розрізали це все, казалося, немає нічого. Онко немає.
І потім Петр Васильович, як-то, от Наташа, Бог тебе любить. Бог тебе завжди буде підтримувати. І я покаялась 15 марта 92-го року.
Коли я помолився, я після того почав поправлятися. Знаєте, тоді мені, ну, це треба пережити це все.
Я от прихожу в воскресенье в церковь, ну, Петр Васильевич приходит, со всеми здоровается. Ну, и приходит, подходит ко мне, и для меня было в шоке. Пастор церкви приходит и знает тебя по имени, видит в тебе не человека, который там с женой разводится, он знает это, но он видит немножко глубже, идет дальше. И вот все отношения начинают, ну, как бы Бог постепенно начал менять отношения.
Бог протянул нам руку помощи, такой благодати, которая впоследствии вытянула нашу семью, восстановились наши отношения именно через церковь.
Нас Бог исцелял ребенка, и Бог все усмотрел вообще. То есть это для нас было очень ярко, показательно.
Я там уже лежал, я так очнулся. Господь мне говорит, ну не рано еще тебе, рано. И поднимает мне рукой, поднимает, да рано тебе, сынок, еще. И я говорю, точно, теперь я буду идти к Богу.
Я знаю, что Он никогда не желает мне плохо. Что бы ни происходило в моей жизни, я понимаю, Отец хочет, чтобы я что-то поняла.
Когда я побачив, наскільки церква допомагала всі добрі справи, і це мене настільки вдохновило, настільки мене підняло, я попросив мікрофон і сказав Богу слова, що Господи, прости мене, Боже, і я хочу, Боже, бути тільки з тобою.
Коли почав моє серце наповнятися миром, и покоем, и радостью, и я поняла, что это мой Бог. Я хочу быть всегда с Ним.
Здесь мой дом. Я могу сказать, что церковь – мой дом.
The story of our church is the story of a small people with a great God. This is the story of transformed life, of people who love their church and love the God who created Transformation Church.
You guys help me welcome up Pastor Peter Machenko and Pastor Vasily from Transformation Church. So proud to know you guys, so proud to be a part of what God's doing. And I'm so grateful you guys are here. You guys just flew in literally yesterday, and it was a really easy process from what I've heard. It really wasn't. But we're grateful to have you guys here for the conference. And I don't know about you guys, but just watching that video gets emotional for me. To know we were with Pastor Peter and Transformation Church from the very beginning. And Peter, I just want to ask you, In light of what we just saw, you guys have experienced 30 years of transformation, of growth. Like, they're one of the biggest churches in Kyiv right now. It's amazing. We were just there 2 weeks ago. They celebrated their 30th year anniversary, and they remodeled their whole stage. Like, what they're doing is working, and they just remodeled everything and made it more modern. What inspires you, like the Apostle Paul, to forget what lies behind? You keep pressing forward. You keep innovating. How do you do that?
Происходит то, что общаясь каждое утро с Богом, читая каждое утро Слово Божие, молясь.
So I have my own personal relationship with God every morning, so during this devotion time and my prayer.
А Бог говорит, я творю все новое.
So we know that God says, I create everything new.
И общаясь с Богом, Бог творит во мне все новое.
So and during this conversation, he created everything new just in me.
Новые идеи, новое видение, новые откровения.
New vision, new ideas, new plans.
First off, I could just listen to him talk all day. Like, I told you, he's like the Godfather. You meet him and he's just like, oh, and he gives you a hug. I love it. It makes me wish I understood Ukrainian, because it's just anointed even when I... And this is what I said, when crazy Ukrainian's going to run up and hug you, imagine a bunch of Peters. Like, that's going to be heaven. It's going to be amazing. But I love... He really does. He gets up and does devotionals at 4:30 every minute. But I love the importance of God's word and how you're not afraid to try new things. You're not afraid to pioneer. You're not afraid to innovate. And you inspire us in that. Now, Pastor Peter, I know we've all been through the pandemic, and it's looked different around the world. And you guys at Transformation... have gone through the pandemic, you and the 12 daughter churches. How is the church doing now? How are you guys doing?
Прошли пандемию с Богом.
So we go through pandemic with God.
Amen, amen.
За это время Бог благословил нас мультимедиа командой. До пандемии у нас было только 3 человека, которые занимались трансляцией. На сегодня больше 20 человек, которые, и мы все служения транслируем в церкви.
So before the pandemic, so actually God blessed us with a great media team during this time. So before the pandemic, we had like 3 persons who was involved in media team, but for now there are more than 20. Teens and
Let's
youth.
Go. I don't know if y'all heard that. During a pandemic, the tech team more than quadrupled. Shout out to our tech team, Paul, Kim, you guys. Y'all kept us going during that pandemic. We love you guys. Thank y'all so much. And it's so awesome to hear that y'all leveraged a negative time. By the way, I'm going to say this because I didn't have a time in the first service. When I went and visited them about 6 months ago, right in the middle of the pandemic, I was able to fly over there. And I asked Pastor Peter, I was like, how's the church doing in light of COVID? And like his response, I still laugh. He was like, we survived communism, COVID, Like that's literally his response. He was like, once you've gone through communism, it's like COVID. I was like, wow.
But we did.
You did, I know. You did, it was amazing. Now Peter, we love you. We love what God's doing. You just celebrated your 30th anniversary. God's doing so much through the church, and we're just privileged to be a part of it. As the Water's Edge family's watching online, and here to the Central family, we've been rolling with you, we've been riding with you for 30 years. Is there any word or anything you want to say to the Central family right now and to the Water's Edge family watching?
Меня всегда вдохновляет посещение церкви, Вестминстерской церкви.
So I'm so encouraged every time when I'm visiting your church.
30 лет мы учимся у вас.
We learning from you for the last 30 years.
И благодарность Богу за вашу верность, за вашу посвященность, за ваши новые идеи, и что мы 30 лет, мы вместе сотрудничаем.
So I'm so thankful for God for your faithfulness, for your cooperation with us for the last 30 years.
Вместе в одном служении для достижения новых людей.
So we are in the same ministry to reach more people for God.
За это время больше 1000 людей в Украине пришли к познанию истины через церковь преображения.
During this time through our church more than 1,000 people they become to Christ.
Come on, praise God. Can we give God a hand for that? That's amazing.
Самое великое чудо это не 12 iPhone.
So the biggest miracle, it's not a new an iPhone.
Это не новая модель мотоцикла.
New motorcycle or new car.
Самое великое чудо – это спасение души человека.
So the biggest miracle in our life is
ради этого Иисус пришел на эту землю.
For Jesus Christ, that's why he came.
Он дал поручение церкви. He gave благовествовать, организовывать новые церкви.
He gave us a mission to plant a new church.
То, что мы делаем вместе с Кори, вместе с вашей церковью.
And that's exactly what we are doing with Corey, with your church, and with Water Edge
Network. Мы не должны
network.
Останавливаться.
We don't have to stop.
До пришествия.
Before Jesus will come.
If somebody, amen, like, I tell you, you just get you fired up. Like, he's talking to me, and I'm like, oh, let's go. We're about to plant some more churches. Like, it's just, I'm serious. But what he's saying is, guys, we're not stopping. We're looking at bringing more churches in Ukraine, in Eastern Europe, into our network, supporting them the way we do Pastor Peter's church. And those. It's just amazing to see what God's doing. And when I think about what Paul says, man, you've been doing this for 30 years. You've grown a church in post-communism to over 1,000 people. You could hang up the hat and be like, I did good. But you press on. You just keep pressing on. And you guys at Transformation, Vasily, Pastor Peter, the whole team, you guys inspire us. Would y'all agree with that? Like, you guys inspire us to keep pressing on and to keep pushing people towards Jesus. If it's okay, guys, what I'd love to do to end out our time, we have the Godfather here, so I thought it'd be appropriate if the Godfather prayed for the fathers and prayed for our church as a whole to end out our time together. And then after that, if y'all let me, I'd love to pray on behalf of Central for you guys in this next 30 years of ministry. So let's do this, church family. Let's stand together, and we're gonna hear a good Ukrainian prayer over us. Don't worry, Vasily will translate. But if you feel so inclined, there's this biblical posture of receiving where you take your hands and you put them out from in front of you like this. Same way if somebody was gonna give you a good steak or a good meal, you vegans, whatever you eat, like, you know, you would put your hands out like, give me. Right now, as Peter prays over us, I would just encourage you, maybe put your hands out to God and just say, hey, I receive this blessing. Let's pray.
Отец, мы благодарны тебе за Иисуса.
Our Heavenly Father, we are so glad for
Jesus. Потому что через Сына Твоего Иисуса мы можем называть Тебя своим Отцом.
Because of Him, we can call You as a Father.
Любящим Отцом.
Who loves us.
Добрым Отцом.
Who really good to
us. Заботящимся Отцом.
Who caring about us.
Самым близким Отцом.
Our relative Father.
Благодарим Тебя за это.
Thank You.
Благодарю Тебя за эти 30 лет совместного служения с Вестминской Церковью.
Thank you for these 30 years of communication and cooperation with a Central Church.
Благодарю Тебя за пасторов этой церкви.
Thank you for every pastor
за их видение,
for their vision,
достигать новых людей,
to reach new people,
организовывать новые церкви,
to plant new churches,
и чтобы царство Твое пополнялось,
to make your kingdom bigger,
чтобы новые души возрождались и преображались,
to reach a new souls in your name.
И это ты, Господь, совершаешь.
So it's what you are doing, God.
Но ты для этого создал церковь.
But for this, you create a church.
И мы для этого в церкви.
And because of this, we are a part of this church.
Помоги нам до конца жизни исполнить эту заповедь, идти и благовествовать.
Help us to make what you expecting for us to go and to reach and to share gospel.
Благословляем твоим именем эту церковь.
Blessing this church in your name and Transformation Church
на дальнейшее сотрудничество,
for our future
на дальнейшее совместное служение,
for our future ministry,
для достижения новых душ для твоего царства,
for reaching new people and new souls for your kingdom.
Аллилуйя тебе.
Аллилуйя.
Поклонение тебе.
Thank you, Jesus.
И вся слава тебе, наш Бог. Во имя Иисуса.
In your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And guys, if we can, right in this moment, in this posture, if you feel comfortable, could you stretch your hands towards Pastor Peter, and we just want to pray a prayer over him. He'll be with us this week for the conference, and then we're sending him and Vasily back to Ukraine to keep going. So let's pray in light of that. Father, right now we lift up Peter and Vasily and the Transformation Church. We lift up this network, this church family that we get to be a part of. God, we pray that the next 30 years would be better than the first. God, we pray that spirit of Paul over Peter, forgetting what lies behind and pressing forward. God, no matter how good or bad it is, we pray that you would continue to encourage him with your spirit, that he would feel the love of his church family from halfway around the world when he feels discouraged. And God, that you would continue to equip and strengthen and pour out your favor on Transformation Church. We, God, we pray for that third service, for that fourth service, for that 13th church, for that 14th church, God, we just pray that you would keep moving and working in ways that we can't even imagine, because you are Jireh. You are the provider, and we pray that you'll keep providing for them. God, thank you that we get to know Peter. Thank you that we get to know Transformation Church and partner with them. And God, show us how we can do even more, not for our glory, but for yours in the years to come. Jesus, we love you, we thank you, and it's in your name we pray this blessing over Peter and Transformation Church for more transformed lives. And everybody that agreed with that prayer loudly said, amen. Central, thank you so much for joining us. We hope you have a happy Father's Day. Come back next week, and we hope this week you enjoy the ride. Have a great one.